Castology.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Castology, a podcast about podcasts. I'm Zane C. Weber and I'm here with my co-hosts.
Liz Best.
And
Patrick Shearer.
How are you guys?
Oh, alive.
Good.
Here.
Festive.
Merry.
We are recording this the night before Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. Yes.
And the only thing stirring were the podcasters in the studio.
Mm-hmm. In the cat.
In the cat.
Yes, no mice here. So we have a recap on what we did last week because we've all listened to each other's recommendations from last week. And then we have some new podcasts to throw at our audience.
And each other.
And each other. So, yeah, let's get straight into it. Do we want to – we'll start with in the order that we recommended them?
Okay, sounds good. So then we're kicking off with MFM,
I believe My Favorite Murder was first.
Right. So what did you guys think? I know I gave you, Zane, I gave you episode 18.
Correct.
Which was mostly for the Lawrence Singleton / Mary Vincent story. I can't remember the number of the episode, but I know I gave you
25.
Yeah. What was the story?
Knives.
Again?
So you gave me Christopher Dorner and then the Cheshire Murders.
Right.
But then in the show notes, you actually gave me something different. So I ended up listening to that as well.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I meant to give you the Summerhill Murders. So
yeah.
Did you listen to that one as well?
Lord Lucan and the Summerhill Murders.
Yeah. That's
as
the one
well.
I meant to give you. So I don't know why. Yeah. I'm
well,
just incompetent
way, they were,
at numbers.
Well, either way, they were both enjoyable episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Look, for me, it was mainly for the Summerhill Murders because I thought that you'd find the whole way that they handled his trial and getting past the double jeopardy laws.
Very compelling.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And it reminded me of a podcast that I want to recommend to you guys, but that's neither
Handy.
Here nor there.
So basically, as we said last week, My Favorite Murder is two girls from LA chatting about murder, and they're very chatty.
Yes.
They are quite chatty. So if you're not
it's
a big fan of
podcast.
Yeah. And they don't do hell like they do. Maybe they'll look at Murderpedia and Wikipedia, cram them both together and occasionally reference people. And sometimes get things completely fucking wrong.
TV show episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're actually my favorite ones. So I don't know what that says about them or the TV shows.
They are the funnier ones.
Yeah. And I find also they're usually the ones where someone survives. So it's not quite as horrific.
Grim. Yeah.
I mean, I find these very easy to listen to. Mm. Like you gave me some specific episodes to listen to and I listened to those first, but then I just kept listening. Like I think this is a very easy way to consume information.
Yeah.
Whereas like there are other more intense true crime podcasts that are a lot drier and I think but they kind of keep it light enough to kind of maintain interest.
Yeah, it's like lounge room jazz but for murder.
It's murder jazz.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that gets me about them is that, yeah, I found it so easy to listen to and I kind of feel like a big loser saying this, but it's like, oh, I'm going to talk to my friends in the car.
Yeah,
about
absolutely.
Murder.
I think that is a very workable formula like that they've stumbled onto.
Yeah. What do you think of the stories, though?
I mean, they're amazing. Like, not all murder stories are amazing, but the one you showed me, that you recommended to me.
Yeah, guys, listen to episode 18. If you're ever feeling like shit about your life, you just listen to it and you'd be like, what would Mary Vincent do?
Yeah.
Like, it's just impossible to feel like anything's going wrong with your life.
Yeah, it's an amazing
story.
She's
so amazing.
But, you know, listening to other episodes of theirs, like they're not all of them are inspiring and they don't give you much warning as to whether they are going to be
That's
a good one or not.
That's the thing that, yeah, like I find sometimes an episode you go, oh, well, that was nothing. And sometimes you'll have your mind blown with awesomeness.
Yeah.
But you never really know.
But again, but very, very easy to consume. Mm. So I wouldn't hold it against them.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. The four stories that I got were all incredibly compelling in their own way. Mm. I think my favorite though was Lord Lucan because it was the least depressing.
Well, whenever they do the old timey ones, they kind of get to be a little bit more cavalier.
Well, this one wasn't
them.
Particularly. I thought this was old-timey-ish. The 70s. He was like a.
Well, it's not an
aristocrat.
But super contemporary though.
Yeah, no, but I thought it was. It took place in the 60s or 70s.
That's still not super contemporary.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess
that's like
my age is showing.
Oh, darling.
But yeah, I quite like that because I think they mentioned that at the beginning that he was once considered to play Bond.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of, even though what he did was terrible and all that, but I kind of liked this figure, and it wasn't quite like a terrible as the Cheshire murders where two people broke into someone's house. And yeah.
I'm really sorry that I accidentally made you listen to that one. That one's terrific. Fine.
And I mean, I'm glad you did, because I only sort of peripherally knew about the Christopher Dorner one as well, you know? So that was very interesting to get like the full story and the motivation in air quotes.
Mm.
But yeah. You know, they're both very, very compelling episodes.
I mean, as I said, the Summer Hill murders one I wanted to give you, because they, in order to get this guy, they do a really messed up thing in order to subvert the entire justice system.
Where they reinstated
him in
the military.
Yeah, he'd been in the military and he'd been acquitted, and they went, well, no, we've got more evidence now, but we can't because double jeopardy. Oh, wait, you served in the army, so we're going to court-martial you. But then at the end, you don't even know, like, it's still like up in the air as to whether he did it or not, because some of the evidence is really compelling, and then some of it, you hear the stuff about the babysitter and everything like that. Like, did they go through all that for nothing? Did he do it? Do you reckon he did it?
I honestly have no idea.
I know. Like, normally you're one way or the other, but I was like, no idea.
All right. Well, I think that's three pretty strong recommendations for My Favorite Murder.
Yeah.
And I think that's lucky, because there was the one that got us into it, and the one that got Liz into
it. And if the one that got me into it was declared shit by you guys, I would not be fit to be on this podcast.
So what did you think about the Joe Rogan Experience, Liz?
I quite liked it. So I was given two episodes to choose from, and I ended up listening to both of them. The first one was about a congresswoman in Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard, I think her name was. And I found that, I find politics really depressing. I'm one of those people
I find murder really depressing. Yeah.
And yet somehow we found a way to entertain each other with it. and so... As Pat said to me, with this particular recommendation, she kind of gives you a lot of hope for the future, which I definitely felt, because here's a woman who seems really switched on and actually questioning some of the things that are happening over in the US at the moment that are completely and utterly fucked, and going on a podcast like Joe Rogan to try and kind of bring those to light. I found there's a big difference between the two episodes. The second one I listened to was, what was the guy's name?
I should know this.
Oh, God, you should know this. I don't remember, but it was a guy who'd been in prison for 20-something years, and he was found to have been innocent of the crime.
Which I think was the podcast right after.
Yeah, it was the episode directly after, so it just naturally played.
They could have easily done that on the same day, because he often records podcasts like two or three a day. So maybe he had this woman come in and then...
And the difference I found between the two, and... Fuck you, the second one made me cry a lot, is that in the first one I thought Joe went on a bit of a rant at the end, and it ended up me being more about him than his guest, whereas the second episode was very much him asking the questions of his guest. So I don't know what the format is normally, whether
There's
it's
no
more the Joe
format.
Show or...
I found that as well. Yeah. Like, because I have listened to Joe Rogan Experience before, because it is the most popular podcast in the world.
Oh, God, yeah. And you can see why very easily by listening to it.
Yeah, but it does change depending on the guest. So I don't listen to it regularly unless there is a guest on it that I really want to listen to and learn about, because I don't like Joe Rogan as a person.
Right.
I find he really tries, like as anyone does when you're interviewing people, you try to relate to them.
But he relates so much, he overpowered
a little bit.
And
yeah, he's a very strong personality.
Yeah.
And he makes their problems and opinions about him a little bit too much for me to kind of forgive all the time.
Yes.
But he's a great interviewer. And because I listened to the Chuck Palahniuk episode, and great personality. Like, I just want to listen to him talk all day. He's a very interesting person. And I think that episode is a good example of what Joe Rogan can be.
Yeah.
Because Joe was very engaging in that episode.
And same with I feel so horrible that I can't remember this poor man's name, because I found him so inspiring. It was similar with The Prisoner, in the fact that towards the end of that episode, this guy had talked about doing all of these wonderful things, and Joe had done a really great job of like probing those out of him while providing comment. And at the end, this guy's self-esteem completely crumbles. So Joe's just sitting there going, no man, you're like probing this guy's self-esteem up in a way that made me incredibly emotional. And I think he really got the best out of, you know, but yeah. I think maybe because it was political, he was like, okay, here's my opinion on politics, which is fine. Yeah. But as a journalist, I'm kind of like, ooh, inserting yourself too much into that. But it's his show. So again, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. Podcast. It's about him.
And I think that's the pitfall that you can fall into with personality-based podcasts is that if someone doesn't get you personally, no matter how much great content you put out, they're still going to hold you at arm's length, which is my relationship with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Like I appreciate what he does, but I just can't listen to it all the time.
Yeah. I think I want to listen to a few more episodes because I found it really interesting. Yeah, especially I'll try the two and
find some ones that I think you guys would find particularly compelling. I feel similarly because I won't listen to every episode, especially the ones where I know, unless I really like a friend of his that is getting on, I know it's just like those two bullshitting. And
yeah,
like I like Joe well enough, but again, it's his platform and the guests that he gets on that really draws me to the thing more than anything. Yeah. I'm not really a fan of his comedy either. Like I've seen some of his stand-up. It's like, I like you, Joe, but I don't know if I like you.
Stop.
Stand-up that much. But I mean, I appreciate him more than I like him, I suppose.
And now for the very important question. What did you think about the Thrilling Adventure Hour?
I thought it was good.
The end.
But I didn't think it was great.
Shut up. Get out. I really enjoyed
definitely the Patton Oswalt one. I thought that one was particularly funny.
Pterodactyl Jones.
Yes, yep. Pterodactyl Jones. And if there are more like that, please.
There are probably about six different Pterodactyl Jones, but Patton Oswalt isn't always.
No, Patton Oswalt only does one. It's a rotating kind of role.
But they're still very funny, especially when they keep the running jokes about, ooh, those damn Danes.
and the metaphors and what have you. That style of writing I think is very, very interesting. The noirish, of course, because I gave you a Beyond Belief. I gave you both
gave us both Beyond Belief. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I went with episode 1, 5 and 10, I believe.
Right, yeah. From The Treasury?
From, yes.
Yeah.
All Beyond Belief, yes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I was biased. They're my favorite. So
I have a confession to make. I've now listened to every single Beyond Belief episode that exists.
Well, you tracked down the Patreon. I did. Well, Patreon.
Zane set a challenge, and I like to complete challenges because I'm a completionist. So when he was like, "Oh, I don't think you can find them. They don't put them out anymore, and people who didn't download them just don't have them." They have the entire back catalog on Patreon. If you sponsor them $5, you have access to everything.
And so we both have.
And now I'm obsessed with Beyond Belief. I've gotten into Sparks Nevada now that I can actually go back and listen to it from the start, because when I was listening to the episodes in the middle, because it's more serial than Beyond Belief, it's hard to kind of go, oh, okay, who are all these? Whereas like if you don't even have a little bit of a crush on Sadie Doyle, you are not human.
I do have a little one, I suppose.
Just a little baby crush. Mm. And so I'm also obsessed with now trying to do all the voices because that's what it did to me. Clink.
Good.
Yeah, obsessed. Well, thoroughly. Two thumbs up. If I had more thumbs, I would give more thumbs up. I found it very enjoyable.
I appreciate that.
Plus, their relationship goals.
Yes,
like those two are just this. Like they're pissed all the time and complete drunkards, but they love each other so much. I mean, yes.
If we could,
somebody who loves that,
limitless whiskey.
Yes, Park Avenue, drinking drinks all the time and wondering who's knocking on our door.
Wonderful. Well. So
that's
all thumbs up for Joe Rogan, My Favorite Murder, and Thrilling Adventure Hour.
You get two thumbs up from me.
Yeah.
So Thrilling Adventure Hour doesn't exist anymore, but you know.
Patreon, $5, entire back catalog.
I'm sure they'll make a comeback.
Well, no, they're all too famous now. They can't schedule at all. That's the problem.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Look, really, they just need Padgett Brewster and Paul F. Tompkins and everyone else. No, I love everybody else. But yeah, those
mainly
two,
Padgett Brewster. Yes. Well, so should we get into our recommendations for this week?
Yes, we should.
Yes.
So different order this time. I went first last time.
Well, I will go first this time.
Good.
These guys are totally unknown. As far as I know, they are a living room setup in Melbourne. The podcast is called Unnatural Selection, and they spruik it as a weekly show about newsy type stuff and things. Mm. So they recap the week's news in a inverted commas funny way.
Yeah.
They kind of have different political views as well, but they do lean heavily to the left, with one of them trying to represent the more conservative values. But it's mostly just making fun of politicians, both internationally and nationally. Mm. But also, so they started out in university and the university radio station. So it's been going for about 9 years now.
And they're still unknown?
Yeah. Well, they have a following.
Right.
And they do, they're very good at releasing weekly, but they haven't like hit. So all three guys work full-time jobs and they get together on a Monday night to record the podcast. Mm. So they're not super popular. They have like guested on, they've done some live shows and things like that, but they're not Joe Rogan. So this, I've started out with Thrilling Adventure Hour, which was a massively popular phenomenon. So now I'm going to the other end of my spectrum, which is totally unknown Australian podcast.
Yeah.
Not unsimilar to most of my podcasts.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing. Like, I because I came into podcasts quite late, most of the ones that I know will be known.
Yeah.
Maybe not by everybody, but they're, you know, so I quite like having little finds and having.
Well, I found these guys because
had I known you guys were both going to do your Australian podcast, I would have done mine. I just only have one.
Yeah, well, we didn't. I think maybe we should plan this.
I have a lot of Australian podcasts because I went through a time of like seeking out Australian podcasts.
I think I've only got one, and it's basically because it's an Australian guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He started doing it in the States and now he's moved back to Australia.
So this anyway. Podcast is the only podcast I listen to, which is like a current events podcast.
Yeah.
And I do it because it's funny and their political views mostly line up with mine, so I don't have to like yell at them.
Yeah.
That's
exhausting.
Yeah. There is a few other political podcasts I listen to which are more kind of in-depth stuff, but this is very kind of surface level. This is what's happening in the world. This is why it's ridiculous. Mm. So it's really enjoyable to listen to. This is another very low energy, low stakes podcast. You don't have to pay a lot of attention to enjoy it. Mm. And yeah, it is just kind of like a put it on while you're cooking dinner or while you're working sort of podcast.
All right. Well, then I'll go on to my recommendations. Yeah, it only seemed fitting that I would recommend the Duncan Trussell Family Hour because the first podcast that I ever saw, which was from the Joe Rogan Experience, he also had his friend Duncan on, who has a much lesser known podcast, which he initially started with his, at the time, girlfriend Natasha Leggero. I don't know if any of you know her. She's married to Moshe Kasher now. They're like one of the few successful comedian couples. They just did like a honeymoon tour,
right,
on Netflix kind of thing. Anyway, Duncan started doing that with her, and then he's since gone on to do his solo podcast. And it's one of my favorite things in the world. I think I'd like it much more than I like the Joe Rogan Experience.
Were doing the introducing one, so you had to recommend Joe first.
I did. Well, Joe's got a special place in my heart, but Duncan, I think, has superseded him.
As your favorite.
He might not actually be my favorite, but he might have the second place.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So is it similar to similar format?
In the sense that he's a comedian, that's how they know each other, and it's sort of all over the place. They brush on a lot of the same topics, but Duncan is much more interested in spirituality, psychedelics, magic, that kind of stuff. So he's got a lot more sort of esoteric fringe guests on that Joe would never really consider having, I suppose, which I enjoy. And then obviously a lot of his comedian friends as well. The two episodes that I recommended you guys, Liz, I gave you one that was very touching, I think, which was one of my favorite ones I've ever listened to. And then Zane, I gave you Bruce Damer, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah. Who's sort of tries to blend science and spirituality and psychedelics.
Very
and
interesting.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. But he's very cool because he looks like a middle of the road hippie, but he like has worked for NASA and is a very well esteemed academic. And I like people like that who are very sort of unassuming, and capable. Yeah. Kind of like Aubrey de Grey. Do you know who that guy is?
Yes. Yeah.
He's got a great big beard down to here and he's a raging alcoholic, but he's also one of like the foremost minds when it comes to like life extension. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
I should say Unnatural Selections hosted, so three hosts, Tom Heath, Adam Doreen, George Tsipras.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you told us we could listen to pretty much any episode that wasn't
literally
a chats
any
with.
Of them.
Yeah.
They do a second series of like a chats with where they get like authors or things in.
So what's wrong with them?
They're just a totally different format,
right?
And they're few and far between. So they're not like a regular thing. So they're just not a good example of what the podcast is.
Right. But would you still recommend listening to some of those anyway? Yeah.
Yeah. They're not great interviewers, but their guests are usually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sweet.
They have a very good rapport with each other, which is most of the reason why the podcast works so well.
Awesome. Well, my recommendation was another Aussie recommendation, which was Case File. I hated Case File when I first started listening to it because I had spent so long listening to Karen and Georgia on MFM that the Aussie accent and how incredibly ocker this dude is really grated on me and then made me ashamed like that the Aussie accent grated on me because it's my accent. But this guy, nobody knows who he is. He's an anonymous host who started off the podcast by himself but now has a team of researchers and writers working for him. There was a job listing to be a researcher on Case File last year when I was not sure if my contract was continuing that I ummed and ahed about for too long because by the time I went to apply it had disappeared. Because I think that would have been my dream job.
Yes.
Let me research true crime and give it to this dude. So Case File differs from MFM in the fact that it is very heavily researched. And rather than just chatting about it, the entire story is they pull all the facts and then they write it in a really compelling, to my mind, narrative in the fact that they take the murder apart and then piece it back together in a story so that you don't know what's going to happen next, which I think is it's a way to keep you more engaged into the story if you're not – if you're a real true crime nut and you're also a fan of you know, compelling narrative, I feel like it works quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And the episodes that I have recommended, Zane, I believe I'm giving you Sherry Rasmussen.
Yep.
And the reason why is because it's a very well-told story, but quite often the people from Case File will actually have access to either interrogation or court tapes of the actual events. And this was great because rather than overdoing it and overselling it, they pretty much just play the interrogation tape and you get to listen to this woman talk herself in knots while the interrogators do a really good job of seeming like they're not interrogating her and watching her hang herself. So I found that fascinating. And then occasionally a case is so big that it will go over a couple of episodes. And so because Pat said he was interested in cultish things, I gave him the Jonestown Massacre three-parter, which is delightful, which is another one that I loved because my opinions – this is going to sound weird talking about a massacre, but my opinions changed from episode to episode. So it will be very interesting to see what you think of that. But, the whole point is it's incredibly well-researched and the guy's super ochre, like super – to the point where when they did like a Golden State Killer update, when they caught the Golden State Killer who turned out to, well, allegedly because he hasn't been formally convicted yet, but he's been charged, Joseph DeAngelo, he comes on and the first thing he says in the episode is, well, that was a fucking day. which is normally the most personality this guy shows. And he deliberately said that he wanted to be anonymous because he wants it to be about the story and not about him. And the journalist in me loves that so much, so much. So that's my this week recommendation.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
So all the links to those recommendations will be in the show notes, as with a little bit of a description of the podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And we'll be back next week with our well, our reviews of our assigned episodes mm-hmm. and some more recommendations. If you have recommendations for us, please send them in via any of those socials.
We love all the, well, we don't love all the podcasts, but send us some and we'll tell you whether we love them or not.
I usually love listening to podcasts, it's whether true. They're bad or not.
Look, even some of the bad ones still have some lovely charms to them. Like there's a couple I'm going to recommend that are on my list that I'm kind of like, this is terrible, but I love it.
I don't know that I've, well, yeah, no, I have listened to some bad podcasts before.
Do you like listening to any?
Look, this one that I'm thinking of, it started to get super conspiratorial towards the end. So
like
it
tin
was,
hat, tin
yeah, like
hat
a
stuff.
Very tin hat. So it was kind of enjoyable towards the end, but I just couldn't do it anymore. Right. Really. I was like, this is kind of wasting my time. And there's so many other things that I want to listen to. I can't give this much time to this crazy guy.
So send us your mostly good, but sometimes occasionally shit podcasts.
Look, we'll listen to them.
We will.
We may or may not put them on the podcast, but we definitely appreciate any recommendations you send through. All right. Well, until then, I've been Zane C. Weber here with
Liz Best
and Patrick Shearer. Ciao for now.
And I guess Merry Christmas Eve in January. Yes.
And keep listening to all the podcasts.